One, two. Okay, let me just.
How long is this? I could do as long as you want, but how long is this?
I'm thinking like 30 minutes on Bitcoin and 30 minutes on .bib, so probably around an hour.
Yeah, man.
Okay, cool. Let me go ahead and listen to this.
Might work out together. Be like 20 minutes of Bitcoin, 40 of .bib.
That's fine.
There's more to talk about with .bib.
Cool.
Or maybe even 15 and 45, come to think of it, but you know.
All right, cool. Give me 1 second to listen to this test.
Check.
I think we're all right. Let me go ahead and just render that 20 seconds, make sure.
Check, check, check. Hang on a sec. All right, check, check. Yeah. Hey, okay. Yep, check, 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 check. There we go. Okay.
Perfect. All right, good on my end. Let me know when you're ready to get started, and we'll get this rolling.
Yeah, I'm good, man.
Okay. Okay. Hey, Shane here. I'm joined by Michael Dean, a co-founder of the Freedom Fiends radio show, who's doing some very interesting things within the crypto space. One of those is Bitcoin, a recently created cryptocurrency, as well as .bip, a project that will help to ensure free speech on the internet. Those will be the subjects of the discussion. I'll cut that out. Those will be the subjects of discussion in this interview. So, Michael, welcome to Liberty Under Attack Radio. It's great to have you, and I feel it's a long time coming.
Yeah,
to be completely honest.
It's an honor to be here. I want to clarify, it's Bipcoin, not Bitcoin. And I kind of get a kick out of the fact that people will forever, if this coin does nothing else, people will have to carefully say Bitcoin instead of Bipcoin. Which may irritate people. It's not, we did not make Bipcoin to sound like Bitcoin. That was not the point. Bipcoin, our cryptocurrency, is named after Bipcat, my cat, one of my three cats, my wife and my three cats. Bipcat is the cat on the logo. Jim Jesus made the logo from a rough draft I did. He made it look really, really cool and good. And I paid him, you know, a bunch of bips that are probably worth about 80 cents so far. But someday, who knows?
Sometimes I could be worth $800.
Might put his kids through rehab. You never know. You know, you never know with cryptocurrencies. But it's named after Bipcat, which is, oh, yeah, he'll get rich from it for sure. That's my new app. Let me see. Was that loud enough? He'll get rich for sure.
Allegedly.
There we go. That's the Lulbert's app. You ever been on Lulbert's?
I have not. Okay. Check that out.
Well, you're on the Freedom Fiends now, huh?
Correct. Yep. Yep. Yeah. I am a rotating co-host now. Yeah. It's a real honor.
Cool, man. Rotating on a spit. You were on probation because you had a little bad audio start, but we put you in the bad audio stockades. You know, make America great by making bad audio a year in prison. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to tweet. But you're no longer on probation because Jeremy, who had more seniority than you, got put on double secret probation. And then there's a new guy, Braden X, who is on probation. He's on parole. So I don't even know who he is. Yeah.
Very good, very good.
But so let me pull back out of this wormhole. I'm standing like ankle deep in here. So Bipcoin is named, which you can go from. You can check out at BravoIndiaPapaCoin.org. That's Bipcoin.org. Bipcoin is named after Bipcat, who is named after the Bipcat no government license, which is the license I created that. You know, basically allows reuse and use by anyone except governments on everything that I make, everything that comes out of my mouth. And you should all, anyone listening should put the Bipcat license on anything you're doing. It's basically an open source license except for governments. And the Open Source Initiative, which is apparently a thing and apparently is the like central scrutinizer, central planner of the, you know, uncentrally planned thing that is open source software. Apparently, they determine whether something can be called open source or not. And what gives them that authority? People listen to them. So they're the thing, you know. They told me specifically on Twitter that we should not call the Bipcat license open source because it forbids governments and is therefore not open. But the source is open. It can be reused. You can grab it. You can use it. You can hammer it into whatever you want it to, as long as you give us credit and you're not a government or government agent. The Bipcat license recently had an update where it now has a optional, what we call the mailman exception. So like really low level government employees who don't shoot people, carry guns, or direct the carrying of guns for the government. You know, the Snowdens, your mailman, you know, the EMT who's contracted by your city, who keeps you from dying when your neighbor stabs you for not saluting the flag. You know, those people are allowed to use stuff that's BIPCOT licensed if the license holder doesn't remove Section 8. And we called it Section 8 after the government welfare housing. Section 8 is Section 8 of the BIPCOT license that's been added. And it basically says, you know, mailmen, blah, 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 people that don't carry guns or order the carrying of guns or aren't politicians or three level, you know, alphabet soup government agency brutes can use this stuff, but we'll still make fun of you, but it's okay. And, you know, because how are they going to learn? But the last line of it is this can be taken out by the license holder if you don't want to have this exception. So it's a multi-use license. Yeah.
Very good, very good. And yeah, they don't really respect that too much. I released an article a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, Liberty Under Attack was named in an FBI investigatory document.
So, hey, I'm proud of you. Thank you for your service. You've arrived. Although it was kind of a wimpy naming. Mine is better. No, you're not a wimp, but you know, most people never have the joy of at least never knowing that they've been named in a government document. Everyone's probably named in some, but everyone that listens to your show.
Yeah, it took me about a year to actually acquire that document. Yeah, that came out on report was done on January 5th.
Yeah, but it's just first name, and it's just mentioning like they're going after someone else.
They're going after Gary Hunt. And they were doing information. Well, they might have.
You just interviewed him, so they're like, you know, they were sourcing material about going after him, and the material was that some guy named Shane, whoever, whatever, interviewed him on some podcast. I think they named the podcast, though, didn't they?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep, they did.
My government agency thing didn't even require any kind of FOIA request or background thing. It was a Google search, and it's really cool. I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, having a wiener measuring contest here, but I'm just really proud of my government thing. So I made this movie called Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1, Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz. And it's on Amazon. You can, you know, grab it there. You can also watch it, kind of a cropped version of it. It's the full version on YouTube for free, but it's like, it's oddly cropped. You know, you can't really see like the edges of the picture very well. That was intentional. That was my kind of like, yeah, watch the whole thing, but go buy it if you really want to be able to see what's going on. You know, if somebody else put it up on YouTube, I wouldn't stop them, but I would put ads on it. I really love the way YouTube does that. Like, it really doesn't even have anything to do with, like, basically they learn to satisfy content creators who believe in copyright and or want to get paid while also basically allowing piracy. It's brilliant. I love what YouTube did. Like, that's how you do it, people. You come up with new ways of like, well, you know, if someone can prove they created something, they can put the ads on it, even if someone else puts up and they and YouTube split the ad money. That's how they do it. I mean, there's a bunch of media I've made. Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. There's like 8 copies of it on YouTube. DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. There's a few versions of it, you know, rips of it on YouTube. Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow. There's a few rips of it on YouTube. And all of them have ads, and I get the money for the ads, you know, which doesn't amount to a lot, but it's mailbox money. It pays for, you know, cat food and lingerie for me or my wife. I don't know.
There you go.
But my government thing, I didn't get to it yet. I'm totally hijacking myself here because the post office didn't show up in the snow yet with something Cash Newman ordered that I want to give to him. All right, so they're late. Anyway, snow, Wyoming. All right. So my government thing is, if you go on, Google has a service where you can find out any like book or media or anything that has a, it's ISBN numbers for books. There's something else for video. Sometimes it's ISBN. So, you know, basically if it's registered by, I don't register them, but the people that put them out, music video distributors, the people that, they don't give me advances, but they put out like 5 or 6 of my DVDs and I get royalties from them. And, you know, they physically manufacture them. They get them into stores. Now they get the stuff on iTunes and Amazon Video and places like that. So I don't have to bother with that. So, you know, all the stuff I do has a scan barcode and I think an ISBN number. And so if you're in that system, or there's another book number system, I forget what it is. But if you're in that system, you can go on just like Google Books or something like that. If you Google library search, you'll find it. And basically you can search the title by title, author, whatever, of any book, movie, you know, any other media that like you could check out of a library, basically. Mm-hmm. And it'll tell you every library in the world pretty accurately. It may miss a few of them, but it tells you like pretty accurately, like how every library in the world that has your book, when it was last checked out, et cetera, et cetera. And you can search by zip code, like how far away it is from you. My movie, Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, is in the library that's not open to the public, but it's somehow on this database. The FBI Quantico, Virginia Training Center for FBI agents. The library has a copy of my book, my movie, Gun Training for the with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1, Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz. Now, I don't know why they have it, because I looked at other stuff they have. They have like the Anarchist Cookbook. They have a bunch of seditious stuff. They have Inspire magazine, you know, the ISIS wannabe training magazine. They have all that stuff, but then they also have a lot of like books on using guns correctly written by cops and cop experts and government friends and stuff. So I don't know if they have it on there as something to watch. I'm not saying it's terror training stuff, but, you know, it's like it's non-aggression principle and it's guns. You know, I don't know if they have it because it's something to keep an eye on. Like, this is the kind of people we should be on the lookout for. Or if they have it for, this is some good training for our officers, or yeah, both.
Wouldn't that be a little inadvertent? You could train.
You could throw out the non-aggression part. I mean, the training in it's solid. The non-aggression part is a small part of it. It's just some talking at the beginning and the end.
Gotcha. That's pretty neat. Congratulations.
Thanks, man. So that's 15 minutes. You were like, well, let's see. We'll talk a half hour about Bitcoin and then a half hour about .bip. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. We probably shouldn't do it that precisely. Just see what happens. So, yeah. Have we even mentioned Bitcoin? Yeah. Bitcoin.bip.
Well, once or twice.
What do you want to know, sir? How can I help you?
So let's talk about Bitcoin, which I'm really excited about.
It's Bitcoin. You got to say it like that. You should, or people aren't gonna think you're saying Bitcoin. By the time this is, you know, squashed down to an MP3 and on their little crappy earbuds, you know, while they're working their job running a snowblower, they're not gonna be able to tell the difference unless you say it clearly.
True. So for the rest of this podcast, I will refer to Bitcoin as like BIP, B-I-P,
BIP,
coin.
Just say it like
Bitcoin,
that. BIP,
and then coin. And I'll refer to Bitcoin as BTC. We'll make it really easy. So before we get into the technology behind it, let's talk a little about the background. How and why did Bitcoin come into fruition?
Bitcoin. Well, you know, isn't it everyone's dream to have their own cryptocurrency? I really think it is, but which is why there are about 1,000 of them. There's about 1,000 of them. There's about 640 that are actually listed on that you can buy and sell on exchanges, and we're on one exchange, Cryptopia. And you know, if you just Google Cryptopia, you go to it. It's a long address. It's weird. It has New Zealand in it. .co.something New Zealand. But they carry us. You can trade it for Bitcoin. Bitcoin for Bitcoin, Dogecoin, a few other coins. And we are, you know, based on the market cap, which is the price of the coin, which is right now, I can look on my phone. I have a widget. And if you go to bitcoin.com, you'll see how to install the widget. Right now it's 0.68 cents, you know, so almost a cent, seven tenths of a cent for a coin. And based on the amount of coins issued so far times the price of the coin currently. That's called the market cap. That's true in anything. I mean, that's true of like stocks. A lot of the way these sites work is based on the way the stock market websites work. And I would highly recommend anyone who even wants to understand economics better, who doesn't really want to trade in Bitcoin, since Bitcoin is so cheap and it's, you know, you can't use it if you're the government, or you shouldn't, or we'll make fun of you. I would recommend getting some Bitcoin, either buy $5 worth of it or whatever, or mine some. It's still easy enough to mine that you can do it. There's tutorials on our site. I would recommend like going and buying and selling some, you know, just even $5, $20, $30 worth, whatever, to kind of experience how these crypto coin exchange sites work. They're fairly brilliant, and they're based on how stock market stuff works. So if you ever want to get into that, this would be something you could do really cheap to kind of learn how all of that stuff works. You know,
yeah, a lot lower risk too.
Yeah, so. a lot lower risk too. Yep. You won't lose all the money. So you know,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, allegedly. All right.
So you didn't answer the question yet, but I guess
of course I didn't. What's the question? Sorry.
What was I guess how
did we come about?
We
thought that there should be the main reason this coin exists, other than me too, which is why a lot of coins exist, and it's actually a really bad reason for coins to exist. I'll say it straight up. This coin is just a clone of Bitcoin. However, Bitcoin is in a unique class of rare coins, which is crypto note coins. Monero is another crypto note coin, although Monero has a very deep development team who works 24/7 on it and has like created it into a whole other beast, which is why it's doing like several million dollars a day worth of commerce right now. You know, Bitcoin tends to do between $50 and, you know, $500 a day worth of commerce. You can check that on coin market cap sites too. You know, it measures it through the blockchain, which is kind of neat. But the cool thing about crypto note coins is, and Monero, like that's all on the dark market too. Like it's kind of replacing Bitcoin or giving Bitcoin, BTC, a run for its money, Monero is, because crypto note coins like Monero, like Bitcoin, like Bitcoin, and I don't recommend anyone use our coin for anything illegal. That's none of my business. We just made a coin because we like privacy. These coins are all dark by default. Like, remember how Cody Wilson had an Indiegogo to make something called Dark Wallet? Yeah, and you said it never really came out. Wasn't there a beta? That kind of
there was an alpha, but they recommended you not actually like put any real money in there
because it was a test net. You could use fake test net coins on it. Yeah,
but it never really came into fruition. Unfortunately. Yeah, I was really looking forward to that.
I know, and you did some kick ass proofing and typo correcting on the Bitcoin white paper last night, which people can read by going to bipcoin.org. And the Bitcoin white paper, it's about 32 pages long right now. It's kind of a work in progress, but it's at a point that really kicks ass, especially after you went through it last night. And some people have said it's one of the most entertaining white papers they've ever read. White papers are technical papers that describe how something will work. This one's less technical. It's a bit technical, but the layman, the average person, can understand most of it. And unlike most white papers, and it's like half white paper and half manifesto, like all within the same paragraphs. And it's a lot of fun to read. So people should go read that. And basically it's explaining what we're trying to do with Bitcoin, which is add distributed DNS, which is what we'll talk about that some more later. What Namecoin tried to do but failed to get adoption with for 5 years now. And there's a couple other – Emmercoin is promising it but not doing it, not delivering any kind of adoption. I think Ethereum has some plans for that, but nobody's really done it in a way. Like, I don't know anybody who's got any decentralized blockchain-based, you know, web addresses other than stuff on Namecoin. And there's like probably, you know, there's 100,000 squatted Namecoin names because they made them too cheap to register. And there are maybe 20 working websites that are also .com or .org, but you can get to them through a .bit address, .bit, not .bip. We're doing .bip. .bit was the name, is the Namecoin one, but like, you know, okay, let's say there's 30 of them. 10 are owned by me, 10 are owned by, you know, Bitcoin developer Derek Slopey, and 10 are owned by the Namecoin developers, and nobody can view them and no one knows they're there. So it's not doing what it should. But
yeah.
So we were looking, the main reason before we decided to try to add distributed DNS, the main thing we wanted to do Bitcoin for, other than, you know, for the Freedom Fiends radio show to have its own cryptocurrency, is as a proof, like a working living proof of the fact that the BIPCOT, no government license, is on a coin and should be the default license that anyone making a cryptocurrency uses, because all of the other ones are licensed, you know, some open source license, usually the GPL or something like that, or the MIT license, which are, you know, good licenses and have their uses and pluses and minuses, but they're all technically backed by US government and international copyright, which means violators, if you want to go after a violator of your license, you have to engage the government. And cryptocurrencies all, I would say, you know, except the ones being created by banks now, which I would argue aren't really cryptocurrencies and aren't really a blockchain, because private blockchains are semi, like putting banking on the blockchain or voting. Like if I said this the other day and tweeted it, a lot of people really liked it, was, and I believe it's true, if I can't use your blockchain without you having a copy of my driver's license, it's not a blockchain. And I'm absolutely mm-hmm. sure that's true in the original, like what Satoshi meant by blockchain. So, you know, that stuff's not, you know, the fintech stuff going on with banks, that's not, and, you know, basically credit cards and PayPal, especially credit cards, are like, wait, Bitcoin is replacing us. We can see the numbers dropping. More people are using Bitcoin. Less people are using MasterCard, American Express. I think it was MasterCard actually made like a video a couple years ago with like the CEO, like looking all sweaty, like he'd been up all night from some reason or another, either planning this, writing this video with his underlings, or some other reason. He'd been up all night. It looked like he just looked sweaty and nervous.
Like, maybe on a Coke binge.
You know? Hey, stop it. No, wait, where is it?
Not a guarantee.
Yeah, no.
Allegedly.
There we go. Hey, they have nothing but attorneys. That's all they have. That's all they have going for them. That's their only power. They don't have the coolness of blockchain based things. So by the way, Bitcoin obviously is not the same blockchain as Bitcoin or Bitcoin or Monero. When people say it's on the blockchain, like a lot of people think that means there's one and everyone's on it. No, it's not like that. It's when people say it's on the blockchain, it generally means it's on a blockchain technology. But yeah, I don't know. Did I even answer your question? I think I did. Yeah, we made a coin because we wanted a working coin that had the BIPCOT, no government license, as an example, kind of to inspire/pressure other coins in the future, or even now they could like adopt it with their next update to use the BIPCOT, no government license. Because you really don't want a coin that all cryptocurrencies that aren't the fake bank ones have some degree of like either, you know, anti-government, or I would prefer to say, and this is more accurate, probably like extra government, like outside of government, like parallel to it on a different road you can't see far away, mm-hmm. going faster. But, you know, I don't really like the word anti-government because, first of all, it gets your door kicked in. Second of all, it's not really accurate for what I want to do. You know, a really good example is like punk rock. When I interviewed Ian MacKay from Minor Threat and Fugazi in my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, I was like, you know, so you're against major labels. And he's like, no, I'm not against major labels. They're boring. I don't want anything to do with them. They've offered me $1 million to sign with them. I don't want to do it. I don't want to give up control. You know, you have to deal with a lot of lawyers, attorneys, not everything that my label's done has always been on a handshake. We've never been sued. No one's ever been mad at us for it. Everyone's happy and we can sell the records for a third of the price and they're great. And we never put out a bad product. So that's what I want to do with everything I do. That was very inspirational for me. And like, I kind of was there already without having it codified or codified, like he said. But once he said that to me in like the year 2000 or right around there, yeah, when I interviewed him, that really hit home with me. And that's kind of been my mantra ever since. Like, you know, I don't want to like smash existing systems. I want to like make a better system and then like laugh at and ignore them and get enough people doing that until they like, you know, are the dinosaur drowning in the tar pit, chewing on its own tail because it's too big and stupid for the impulses of the brain, you know, for the tail pain to get to the brain pain in time.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's quite the story. Very good, very good. So, and you mentioned crypto notes, and for those that aren't keen on you know this all this tech jargon, can you explain like what that means and its significance? How is it different than Bitcoin?
Yeah. So, of the 640 commonly traded cryptocurrencies, and Bitcoin is generally around like 280 to 300 on that list, which isn't bad and isn't great, but it's pretty cool for something that's only been out like 3 months and doesn't have any money behind it. And, you know, just is like the little coin that could kind of, you know, we're in the middle of like, you know, not the best, not the worst. We're in the middle of market cap and trade and things like that. So I'm proud of that. But what was your question again, young man?
What's crypto notes? And how is that different than Bitcoin?
Yeah, I go off on the tangents. I go off on are usually me talking about myself and how cool I am, and then I have trouble reeling myself back in. I didn't sleep a lot last night. Cats getting fixed. Blah blah blah. Driving to the vet. So anyway, crypto note is not the same code as Bitcoin. So of the 640. Commonly traded coins, there's over 1,000 coins, but I'm going to say 640 because I would say if you can't buy some right now, and then it's not really a cryptocurrency because it's not being used. And I would also say that like with a lot of those ones that are below the 640 list, and even probably some of the lower 100s on there, like a transaction can take a while or never confirm. Like BIP coin transactions actually confirm faster than Bitcoin, partially because we have a lower 2 minute block size instead of a block issuance instead of a 10 minute one like Bitcoin. But also like Bitcoin BTC is having growing pains where like so many people are using it and there's not enough like reason for people to run full nodes that it's and there's this whole thing with the blockchain size and arguments and people saying use, you know, let's not use this, we're going to start our own coin, whatever. And like not just people like me saying we're going to start our own coin, but like people like Roger Ver who have $50 million worth of Bitcoin because they started, you know, mining it when it was easy to mine on a simple computer and he owned a computer store, used computer store. You know, so there's people.
Yeah, and you know, I have. So, sorry to cut you off. I did notice that with Bitcoin, with BTC, one of the last transaction I did, it took like 24 hours for.
I don't know. It took 48, man, and it was like the normal.
That's completely not normal.
It was with the normal fee. It was with the normal fee on Multibit wallet. Now, you know, I should be using a wallet that like changes on the fly with what the network is doing to make the right fee. So I don't have to go like study charts to know what the right fee is without paying too much. But those exist for mobile phones. There really isn't a good one that I know of for desktop. So if anyone knows of one, let me know, but I don't know of one that's reliable. So yeah, Bitcoin, Bipcoin. So crypto note, there's only like 12 or 13 probably cryptocurrencies that are based on the crypto note code. Everything else, almost everything else is a clone of Bitcoin or a clone of Litecoin or of like a clone of Bitcoin. You know, people change one thing here, they change the emission rate, they change the number of blocks issued, the number of per minute, per hour, the number of, you know, how fast the emission changes with differences in the hash power of the network. How many coins are our total? Different things get tweaked like that, but they're all basically more or less Bitcoin, BTC type code. Crypto note code came out a few years ago and it basically like landed like a comet from space. Somebody released the code on a public repository and said, here. And they didn't even make a coin, although there's a theory that they secretly are the same people who made the first five or six coins and then kind of pumped and dumped them, which is really weird and sleazy. Like when you come up with something so bizarre to do something that's kind of like they gave this great gift to the world and then they kind of did like, hey kid, you want to buy a used car? That's what they did with it, you know, like not even a good used car, you know, and they lied about what it was. I don't know. Didn't really lie, but they did kind of some pumpy dumpy stuff. So they may be the people who did that, but the code is solid. It's been reviewed by a lot of people and it does a few things different than Bitcoin based code. There's also some other things like Ethereum that, you know, are very different and are meant for more than just currencies. They're kind of whole networks to build frameworks of things off of. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that works. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't. Someone said it's like, you know, 50 gigabytes of Hello World. If you're a programmer, you know what that means. Hello World is usually the first program anyone makes in any kind of programming environment. You know, just to see how the programming stuff works, you make a program that when you press a button, it says Hello World. It's something that goes back to the 70s and mainframe computers. But really, not literally, but figuratively, that's a lot of what Ethereum is. And like, you know, they already proved themselves as not worthy. I mean, the market's saying they're worthy because they're worth a lot of money, but they had a split, you know, to like undo this scam that someone figured out how to do. So they really like rushed it to market, didn't figure out everything it could do, didn't test it enough. And then somebody ran off with like $100 million worth of it by, you know, by obeying the rules of it. He didn't hack it. He didn't scam it. He did something that's legal in the rules of it and probably technically legal. And, you know, so they basically like reverted the blockchain to undo it. But then some other people said, you don't do that. And they stayed with the blockchain. And now there's two Ethereums. And it's like, I don't know. It's like, you know, like Catholics and Episcopals arguing, or Catholics and Protestants arguing now.
Yeah, it's a good.
They
way
worship the same God, but they hate each other, you know, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm an agnostic, definitely. But that's a good analogy. But so CryptoNote like came out of nowhere. Some coins were developed from it. And there's a few coins that are around that are still like really developed. One is Monero, which is very developed and is kind of like the main developer of it, Fluffy Pony, told me that it's, when I talked to him on an IRC at one time asking questions about issues we were having back in the day before we fixed them. And he's like, I don't know what those error messages are. We're off on our own tree. Like, we don't even have the same error messages that all the other CryptoNote coins have anymore. So, you know, but Bytecoin, Bytecoin, is very developed. And, you know, then there's a few others that have come out recently. There's one that's called like Cannabis Coin or Cannabis Industry Coin, I guess, that is supposed nice. To be the coin for cannabis industry. But and there's Bipcoin and there's a few others. And like actually Bipcoin is the second most profitable crypto note coin to mine right now out of the 12. We don't have the biggest market cap, but after Monero, we're a distant second, but we're second. You know, you can make more money based on what our coin is worth and how much hash power it takes to mine it than any of the other 11 or 10 or 12 coins based on CryptoNote. So what CryptoNote does different, any CryptoNote coins, for one thing, it's dark by default. Like, you know, Cody Wilson's thing of dark wallet was an attempt to make a wallet that would mix your transaction with other people's transactions. So it'd be very hard to trace on the blockchain, on a block explorer. Because right now, like, you know, if I give you my Bitcoin address, one that I've used for several BTC, Bitcoin address, that I've used for a bunch of, like, I have one that I've used for 6 or 8 months for donations. I've got a couple $1,000 worth of donation and like work I've done for people. I use the same address. So if I went and bought heroin on the dark market with that, it'd be pretty easy for a government agent to go, oh, Michael Dean bought heroin. Because all he'd have to do, I wouldn't buy heroin, but I'd steal it. No, I don't do drugs, but I don't do heroin. So the Cash Newman's yelling from the other room. You don't do heroin. Okay. So, you know, but like, it's very easy. Like even a layman, someone who's not, you know, doesn't have all the stolen money in the world behind him, like a government agency, the average person can go look at someone's Bitcoin address on a public, you know, on one of the 20 block explorers. And
have you ever taken a gander into Stefan Molyneux's wallet?
Yeah, he's got a lot of Bitcoin.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It's funny because I actually bookmarked it at one point because I wanted to be able to get to the Block Explorer quick, but not to the main page. Like if I want to plug in, you know, if I want to spy on someone else and figure out how much money they have, I like to figure, like, basically that's one thing. Like if I'm trying to work with somebody and like, you know, they say, oh, I'm a player. I've got a lot of people like what I do, blah, blah, blah. And they take Bitcoin donations. I go check to see if they're lying or not. If they've got $4, they're lying. If they've got a lot of money, they're not lying about like, yeah, you know, I'm a player, you know, in this, whatever this is. So I check that a lot. And just to kind of like, I'm curious about people. It's hard to tell though, because, you know, if someone's gotten $100,000 total and now they have $5, you don't know. That's based on how much Bitcoin, BTC, has gone through their wallet, which could be different than, like, you know, like they might have had Bitcoin when it was worth 10 cents. But with Stefan Molyneux, you could look right now and see that, like, I looked the other day and it was like, you know, he has right now $400,000 worth of BTC, Bitcoin, and he's still cyberbagging and yelling at people for $2 donations. My theory is that it's possible that he's so sociopathic, he lost the key to that wallet years ago.
Oh, God.
And he's too much of an egoist to say, hey, I lost the key. Don't donate to that. Donate to this new address. That's my theory. Because he sure acts like a guy. He sure acts like a guy who doesn't have $400,000 US in Bitcoin.
Yeah, or maybe he thinks his work is worth more than that.
I'm sure, because you know, because he works so many hours, and he seems like he believes in the labor theory of value somehow these days. But anyway, so yeah, CryptoNote was this thing that just dropped from the sky. No one knows who made it. It's it could even be Satoshi. The person it's attributed to is several pseudonyms that don't trace back to any other white papers or any other academic work or any other anything, no resumes anywhere. And they're weird names too, that, like, you know, you'd be able to find other instances of them if there were any. So basically it does the mixing in every transaction. So the addresses are really long. With Bitcoin, BTC, they're what, 32 characters?
Something like that, offhand.
Something like that. But they're with CryptoNote ones, they're like 95. And Bipcoin, BPC, actually, I think, has the longest CryptoNote address of any cryptocurrency, because it's 95 plus BIP at the front. Because we actually read the CryptoNote white paper, and it says in there that the first three characters, anything you add at the beginning, first three digits, do not affect the entropy. You know, don't affect how secure it is. So we didn't want to do it if it affects security, but we did some digging and it does not. So, you know, like, I think Monero addresses start with 4 or something like that. You know, Bitcoin start with 1, BTC. We wanted something instantly identifiable, so we started it with BIP. Three letters are the same in every Bitcoin address, and then 95 somewhat random characters. So, but every time you make a transaction on a cryptocurrency, it creates a new address uniquely just for that address, for that transaction.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's why it has to have 95 characters, you know, for like Bitcoin, they say, you know, there's enough for, like, there's more possible addresses than there are atoms in the universe or something like that. With CryptoNote, it's way past that. It's like that times itself almost. So, you know, there's no chance ever of, like, you know, a duplicate address in the same cryptocurrency. It's pretty brilliant.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. And I guess it hasn't been clearly stated, so I'll go ahead and ask this question. But for me,
hang on, there's two more things it does different.
Oh, go for it.
That's the main thing. That's the most important thing. But it also does some different things with how the emission works of when it speeds up and slows down. Like, the block emission works differently than with Bitcoin. Any cryptocurrency, when more people start adding mining power, the block emission speeds up from the default, and the opposite when the opposite happens, which makes it harder for somebody with a lot of power to bully everybody else. But it's done a little bit differently in CryptoNote, so it's even more, I guess, fair is the word. And, you know, I mean, we're all libertarians here, but we don't want the Chinese government or the U.S. government taking over a cryptocurrency. Like, the Chinese government has practically done that with Bitcoin, BTC, because it's, you know, over 51% of the mining power is like four or five miners in China. And you don't do that in China without involvement from the government. You can't be a millionaire capitalist in China without permission from the communist government, with involvement. So, you know, China controls, the Chinese government, communist government basically controls Bitcoin to an extent. Like,
yeah,
you know,
and the U.S. government, after the takedown of Silk Road, they were the largest holder in Bitcoin, BTC.
Yeah.
And I think they auctioned that off, actually, just recently.
And no one should ever do business with anyone who bought those coins.
No,
I wouldn't. I would not say that extends to people who bought those coins, I mean, you know, there's 6 degrees of separation. We've all used those coins at this point. But, you know, the people who bought them, no one should ever do business with them. But they're all bankster, you know, fintech, financial technology people anyway, who believe in those. The people who bought them are all like investor types and banks and things like that. So screw them. So the other thing, let's see, there's one other thing different about CryptoNote. I'm drawing a blank. I'm not the programmer, by the way. I'm like the evangelist, and I named it, and I gave it the license and came up with the idea, and I got other programmers to do it, like Derek Slopey and Brian Gordon helped out. And there's a guy called SLB in Eastern Europe somewhere that helps us, and a guy in Greece named Makis who helps. And we're actually looking for some more people right now, some hardcore C++ programmers to help with the upgrade we're doing that's going to change the world and protect the internet from the new president, the horrible guy who wants to censor. Trump wants to censor people who criticize him. You know, that's how much he hates free speech. So it's a good time to do this. Yeah, man.
Yeah, and Sessions is very against encryption. So that definitely does not bode well for privacy.
Yeah, and basically, you know, people always say, well, you know, well, we can hide it. We'll start using VP, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, you should be doing all this stuff and be masters at it to be able to do it in your sleep before any of that stuff starts going down. It's the same way of like, it's kind of like people who say, oh, you know, I don't have a gun and I don't need food saved. But, you know, if things start getting bad, I'll learn to use a gun and start saving some food. No, that's not the time to start doing that. You won't be able to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So there's one other difference from CryptoNote than Bitcoin. Do you recall what that is?
Yeah, it's easier to mine on common computers, you know, on CPU computers without needing like GPU ASICs. Like, you know, people spend hundreds and thousands and millions of dollars on specific mining equipment for mining Bitcoin that can never be used really for anything else except mining cryptocurrencies, maybe, but certainly can't be repurposed into general purpose computers. Mm-hmm. And those things, if you have some of those that are too out of date to mine BTC, they work for mining Bitcoin. But yeah, it's basically just more protection against the, you know, the Chinese government taking over your cryptocurrency. It doesn't eliminate the possibility. It just makes it harder to do a 51% attack. And it makes it easier for people with ordinary like desktop and even laptop computers to mine with a pool longer than you could with a Bitcoin based cryptocurrency.
Yeah. Very good. Very good.
Let's take a break real quick. Let's take a break real quick.
Yep. Sounds good.
Hi. Have you heard about Bitcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, and we're working on adding distributed DNS functionality to Bipcoin. We're calling this .bip, and it will provide uncensorable domain names in an easy-to-use interface. Unlike previous systems attempting this, .bip will be simple for both the website owner and for people viewing websites. This will get at the worldwide adoption we need to keep speech free, and cyber squatting will not be a problem. Please help out with a donation or just share this with your friends if you can't chip in some cash or Bitcoin to save free speech around the world, because there are incoming regimes that hate honest criticism. Go to bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.